Good morning, everyone, on this wintry day. If it's not said later, make sure you say goodbye to Debbie this morning before she flits away off into the sunny realms of Europe, won't you? Well, I wonder if you remember those days. Do you remember that those terrible moments at school in the playground where a game was about to be played and the captains were standing there and they had to choose their team? And so they would go through and say, I'll have so-and-so and so-and-so, choose the most excellent players. And if your experience was anything like mine, your heart sank as everyone else was chosen. And you were among the last few who perhaps were not really wanted, but the captain felt obliged to drag you onto the team at the end to fill up the numbers. Now, maybe you were the first to be chosen. I'm not jealous much. Well, if that was you, good on you. But for the rest of us, it was a sort of depressing experience, as you can tell, that scarred our memory for the years to come. We longed for the day when we would be chosen first and really wanted on the team. That's what we were looking forward to. Now, whether you were first or last selected in the playground today, as I hope you could see in the readings we just listened to, the Bible says that if you know Christ, it's because God deliberately chose you. Yes, he chose you to be deliberately and gladly included in his own glorious people, to be included in his eternal kingdom among his people. Now, this is the first of the great blessings of God that you enjoy as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus. This is the good God has done to you, and it's a great good. This is reason to praise God and to thank him, no matter what situation you're in. And so the Bible verse we're looking at is in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll read last week's verse and this week's. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And it goes on, in love he predestined us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this precious word. And we pray that you'd help us to understand what it means and why it is so great. Help me to speak the truth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on your outline, the verse 4 is printed up the top there. And firstly, it says, we are chosen. God's first blessing to you and to everyone who is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he chose you to be such. In fact, he chose you before the foundation, the creation of the world. Before time began, before anything existed, God chose you by name. God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of everything exists, he himself chose you and me. And he didn't do it grudgingly. He didn't do it reluctantly. He didn't do it slowly as those, you know, kids in the playground might do. He didn't do it unwillingly. Nor did he do it accidentally. I used to think for years that it was like I accidentally got caught up in the crowd by accident. No, it wasn't like that at all. He delighted to elect you to eternal life. He wanted to include you in his own people. Your inclusion was a matter of great joy to him. Now, why did God include you and me? Well, it's helpful to look at those verses in Deuteronomy 7 that we just read to see why God chose Israel, and they can help us to understand why he might have chosen us. What did it say? It says, he did not choose them because they were a great nation. They were not impressive at all. They were not lovely as a nation. In fact, they were the fewest of all people, tiny, insignificant. No, he says it was because he loved you and he kept the oath he swore to your forefathers. The verse says there, God decided to love them, to fulfill a promise that he made to Abraham. That's how he loved them. And that's why he brought them out to the edge of this land. And in the same way, it was not because you or I were great people that God chose us. In fact, as the second passage we read this morning in 1 Corinthians says, not many of us were wise, not many of us are influential, not many of us are of noble birth. Indeed, by so many standards, we are the foolish, we are the weak. No, it's because God loved us. That's why he chose us. He freely chose to love us and to fulfill his promise to Abraham and to others to bring not only Israel blessing, but the nations also. And we're of the nations. That's why he chose you, because he decided to love you and to fulfill the promises he had made so many years ago. That's why he chose me and any of us who know Jesus. So the amazing blessing of God is that out of all he could have chosen, he deliberately and gladly chose you and me, us, to be included among his own people in his great and glorious kingdom to share eternity with him. But still we might wonder, why? Why us? Why not somebody else? Surely there must have been something about me that he found attractive, worthy, worth loving. In the playground, my hope was that they would recognise perhaps not my brilliant skill, although I wasn't bad, but at least my willingness to play my best, and that they'd at least choose me for that reason. And so we think, well, maybe, surely there was some reason that God chose me. But you see, God has made it plain, hasn't he? All through Scripture, no one deserves to be chosen at all. No one deserves to be included in God's people. There is nothing worthy in us. There is no skill worthy in us. There's no beauty worthy in us. There's no goodness in us. There is no good intention in us. We find that hard to believe because we think at a purely human level. But no one should be chosen by God. No one deserves to be chosen. Not me, not you, not my parents, not my sisters or brother, not my wife, none of my children. All of us had made ourselves into stubborn enemies of God. We were hostile to him, no matter how nicely we dressed it up. We did not want God over our lives. We were enemies in our minds towards him, and our behaviour was evil. We did not seek him. While we approved of the things that we did, to God, according to his judgments, everything we did, every one of them, was filled with our wicked rebellion. We did not love his righteousness. We loved ourselves and our own morality, our own goodness. We, like everyone else, were deeply unrighteous. All of us, as the Bible says, had fallen far short of God's glory. I had. My parents had. My family had. My wife, all my children had. Just like you. And all those that you know and care about. Just like all in humanity. None of us are any different. It's as if in the playground, it wasn't just that we were eager bunnies waiting to be chosen to be enjoy the game. No, we were standing there as people who were unwilling to play according to the captain's rules. We were unwilling to play cooperatively with others. We were just standing there wanting to do our own thing, rejecting the captain. And the captain knew it. He knew it. God didn't choose us in our goodness or our ability, our giftedness or attractiveness. And in any case, whatever we do have, it's been given to us by God anyway, hasn't it? It's not something that we had for ourselves. No, the verse says, he chose us in Christ. Do you see that? He chose us in Christ. He chose each one of us on the basis of Christ's saving work. On the basis of Christ's work only, and Christ's righteousness, which has been given to us. He has chosen us for the sake of Christ. And he did this in his grace. He did this through kindness, not because he was bound to do it, or under any obligation of any kind to do it. It was his grace and kindness, because it says of his great love. And the beginning of verse 5 says, he predestined us. And the word means that he decided beforehand about us. It wasn't that he looked down a time tunnel. He simply made the decision of love towards us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us in his love to be included, knowing how rebellious and wretched and wicked and foolish we really are. But he chose us because he set his love upon us. He chose us to be included in Christ's saving work. And don't get the impression, if you've got it, that he was reluctant about any of that. Not at all. Though he knew exactly what we were, and he knew us so deeply, it was his good pleasure and joy to love you. He wanted to include you and me. But it was not just because of anything in you. but because of his decision to embrace you in his love. And it is great love he has, because in order to fulfill his decision, he gave his one and only Son for you and for me, so that you and I would not perish, but rather have eternal life. God loves you and me deeply, passionately, patiently, consistently, and eternally. He decided he would before time began, and that is his great blessing to you and to me and to every disciple and follower of Jesus. And the verse goes on and says, we were chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now this seems like a pretty tall order, doesn't it? I mean, who amongst us can be holy and blameless? Is God setting us up for a fail here somehow? We constantly fail. The good we want to do, we cannot do. And what we do not want to do, that is the very thing that we seem to do all the time. The Apostle Paul himself cried out, "What a wretched man I am." So if we are chosen to be holy and blameless in his sight, has God really been unkind to us by setting up an impossible task for us? Now the answer to that, of course, is no, not at all. How are we made holy and blameless? Well, it's by Christ, isn't it? It was Christ who cleansed us and washed away every impurity, making us white as snow by the blood of his cross. Christ made us holy and blameless by his once for all death for us. From the moment we ask Christ into our lives, we have been holy and blameless in God's sight. And it was God who chose us for that. The reason we seek to change in our lives now is not to reach some impossible task, which is our pass mark to get into heaven. Not at all. It is because of what Christ has already made us. We are not bowed down by fear, by guilt about reaching this terrible task, this standard, because we know that Christ has already washed us clean, and that through him God has already included us forever in his kingdom. We just want to reflect that now in our lives. That's why we seek holiness. That's why we seek to live blameless lives. So we have a great blessing from God. We have been chosen, predestined for eternal life, saved out of eternal death. Though there was nothing in us that deserved it, God has deliberately chosen us to be among his holy and blameless people in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so finally, we can thank God for this blessing. What an amazing truth it is. No doubt there are all sorts of questions running around your mind. How exactly does it work? Is God doing the right thing here? Well, there are lots of questions, and there will be an opportunity for questions in just a moment. But don't lose sight of the fact that in choosing us, God has blessed us. He has blessed us. Ponder it this week. Is it possible to have a greater blessing than to be chosen to be one of the people of God. To line up knowing that there is absolutely no reason at all why the captain should or might include us. Only to find that we are the first to be included. In fact, to find that he has paid an extraordinary price to have us in his team. This is a good reason to thank God. It's nothing to boast about. It is nothing to boast about. It's only by God's grace, nothing in us. But no matter what situation we're in, we can always thank God for his incredible blessing. How do we thank him? We thank him with our words, don't we? In our prayers. Thank you, Father, for choosing me. Me. We thank him by speaking eagerly of his amazing goodness to other people. And we thank him in the way we live, by seeking to live worthily of the high calling that we have received from God. God has chosen us to be his holy and blameless people, and he has made us his holy and blameless people in Christ. So what else can we do but seek to live out that holiness and blamelessness in our actual living? And we do this by obedience, by obeying his good and true word in the power of his Spirit. This is what God's good, pleasing and perfect will is for our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for choosing us. We know so much that we do not deserve it. It's astonishing that you would include us. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for paying that huge price to make us holy and blameless by your Son's death, who's washed away our sins. And so help us to be thankful every day and to be thankful in every situation of life. And help us, Heavenly Father, to live lives that express our thankfulness to you. Change lives, godly lives. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.